Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
Have you lost your mind? I mean, how is it that you can disrespect a man's ethnicity when you know we've influenced nearly every facet of white America, from our music to our style of dress, not to mention your basic imitation of our sense of cool, walk, talk, dress, mannerisms? We enrich your very existence, all the while contributing to the gross national product through our achievements in corporate America. It's these conceits that comfort me when I'm faced with the ignorant, cowardly, bitter, and bigoted who have no talent, no guts. People like you who desecrate things they don't understand when the truth is you should say, thank you, man, and go on about your way. But apparently, you're incapable of doing that. So, and don't tell me to be cool. I am cool. Racial epithets. Why does it always come down to that? Huh?
1 minute after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. I am your host. It's Reese on the radio, and we are back this Monday, July the 16th, 2012. No new news in my personal life, so I have to go to the news going on in the rest of the world. And what is that news? What is that news? Now, I can go one or of two places today, because when I heard one of these stories, I thought that I would lead off on this, especially because it had to do with something personal to me. I'll give you an idea of what it is that I'm talking about, because I would like to understand how this actually happened in this day and age, and no one said a word. The fact that this would happen in this day and age, and nobody was outraged. If you missed it, I'll play it again. Pay very close attention to what it is that this rapper says. Did you catch it? Did you really, really catch it? Have my niggas take your bitch and rape your honey. We will get into that. It's a rap by a rapper by the name of Meek Mills. We will get into that today. I promise you, in the 9 o'clock hour, we will get into that. JC?
Yeah, and in case you guys are familiar with who Meek Mills is, he was part of that melee recently between Chris Brown and Drake.
That's correct.
Yeah.
He was a part of that whole melee. If I remember correctly, he's with the Drake camp. Is that correct?
Right. Well, he's actually done with the big black bald guy with a beard, always showing his titties.
Rick Ross.
Rick Ross. Right. Right. That's Ricky Rose.
That's right. Ricky Rose. Maybach Music. The Maybach Mafia.
Right. Maybach Music. Right.
Yes. So I want to get into that a little bit later. I want to know why the hip hop community is not outraged at this. Why women aren't flipping out. Apparently, everything and anything can be said in a rap record. in order to sound outlandish or sound tough or out of bounds. We will get into that. I just wanted to give you a heads up of where we're going today. But as you know, look, it's an election year. It is an election year. And the entitlement society today has pretty much gone ape. And when you hear people say certain comments like I'm going to play, you have to ask yourself, what the hell is going on? Now, the rest of you out there, I don't know whether or not you're interested in starting a business, you have your own business, you've ever, you know, whatever. You know, whatever it may be. But I want to know what your response is to this ridiculousness coming from liberals and the people out there who are applauding this narrative, this little storyline. You may not know this, but a couple of months ago, last year in fact, a woman by the name of Elizabeth Warren was giving a speech to her constituents. She's running for the Senate seat in Massachusetts against Scott Brown, the Republican. She is a liberal. We've talked about this woman pretending to be a Cherokee Indian. Lying ass bitch. Big, big fat lie. But let's talk about what it is that she said. And I want you to pay attention. This, again, last year, came from Elizabeth Warren. Listen to what she said about American businesses.
If you've been successful, you don't...
Sorry, wrong one. I cannot believe I did that. Here we go.
There is nobody in this country who got rich on his own. Nobody. You built a factory out there, good for you, but I want to be clear. You moved your goods to market on the roads the rest of us paid for. You hired workers the rest of us paid to educate. You were safe in your factory because of police forces and fire forces that the rest of us paid for. You didn't have to worry that marauding bands would come and seize everything at your factory and hire someone to protect against it because of the work the rest of us did. Now look, you built a factory and it turned into something terrific or a great idea. God bless. Keep a big hunk of it. But part of the underlying social contract is you take a hunk of that and pay forward to the next kid who comes along.
So you don't deserve anything that you made. You created a business. That's all fine and dandy. But, you know, in order to move your goods, you had to do it on our roads. And the people you hired, we educated. And if we didn't educate them, they wouldn't work. Because if we just dropped the ball and didn't educate those people, you wouldn't have anybody to employ. So you owe us. Again, that was last year, September 2011. This is what President Obama said this weekend.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. The internet didn't get invented on its own. Government research created the internet so then all the companies could make money off the internet. The point is that when we succeed because of our individual initiative, but also because we do things together. There's some things, just like fighting fires, we don't do on our own. I mean, imagine if everybody had their own fire service. That'd be a hard way to organize fighting fires.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You create something on your own, a business on your own, but according to Barack Obama and Elizabeth Warren and apparently the audiences that they're preaching to, you didn't get there by yourself. You owe somebody else for your individual achievements. You create a product, you bring it to market, people like it and they buy it. You didn't do it on your own. So what if you're smart to come up with an idea? You can't get it anywhere without the help of government. You can't get anything without the help of government. If it weren't for us, you wouldn't be able to sell a thing. So you owe us. You owe big government for everything it is that you achieve. That's the bottom line. That's what it is that they're telling you. You create something, it's not going anywhere unless we've built a road. Now, I want to take that into perspective here. I want to take that into perspective for plenty of reasons. So, Henry Ford, who built the automobile? Who paved the roads for him? So that the car could drive around. Who paved those roads? Was it government? How about somebody who invented... Wow, I can think of plenty of things that I can think of. What's some of the things that don't involve roads or teaching? What about children who are entrepreneurs? What about a kid with a lemonade stand? Are we to suggest that if there wasn't a road for people to drive down, nobody would buy your lemonade? And if the construction company didn't build your house, you wouldn't have a house to live in. And that construction company couldn't get the wood and the siding and the infrastructure of your home, couldn't get it there unless there was a road to drive it down. Is that what it is that we are to believe? This is the new narrative. This is the new storyline. First, it's businesses are not people. And now it is businesses owe everybody. You're not going to get anywhere without government intervention. That's where we are today. This is a very, very ugly state of our union. It's sad that this is what it's come to. But this is exactly why this president is going to lose. This is exactly why this president cannot be reelected. Because to me personally, this would be a clear example of who we are as a country if we believe that businesses owe the federal government for their own inventions. That everyone out there, each and every one of you are out there and you're responsible for Apple and Zenith and Sony, Verizon, what the hell? Blog Talk Radio apparently would not exist if not for the government. I couldn't be Reese on the Radio if not for the government. the government has allowed me to do what it is that I do right now. And anything that I've ever done. Thank you, government. Didn't have anything to do with my ideas. Oh, sure, you came up with a product that people enjoyed. But you couldn't get it anywhere without us. So you owe us for that. And give us a big, fat chunk of it. You even got Elizabeth Warren saying, hey, keep a whole mess of it. Keep a whole chunk of it. But you owe us. Dig deep down in your pocket and give it.
There is nobody in this country who got rich on his own. Nobody. You built a factory out there, good for you. But I want to be clear. You moved your goods to market on the roads the rest of us paid for. You hired workers the rest of us paid to educate. You were safe in your factory because of police forces and fire forces that the rest of us paid for. You didn't have to worry that marauding bands would come and seize everything at your factory and hire someone to protect against this because of the work the rest of us did. Now look, you built a factory and it turned into something terrific or a great idea. God bless. Keep a big hunk of it. But part of the underlying social contract is you take a hunk of that and pay forward for the next kid who comes along.
A hunk of it. You owe us. We paid for the education of those that you hired. And how did you pay for that? You paid for that through tax dollars by paying for schools and the teachers. Now, if anyone's paying attention to this from the perspective that I'm coming from, Elizabeth Warren and President Obama would make you believe that there was a trickle-down effect, something that they ardently disagree with. They don't believe in the trickle-down effect. This is the reason why they hate capitalism, because they don't believe that if you give tax breaks to the rich, that it will trickle down to the rest of the economy. But apparently, trickle-down works best when it's taxing the rich. And it's because of what it is that everyone else contributed to, giving people an education. It has nothing to do with people wanting an education and getting an education. Because I would make the argument that would say, you know what, Billy? You got that A. You went and you got that A. But you didn't get it on your own. You got that A because you had a teacher who taught you what you needed to know. And that teacher worked in a building that the rest of us paid for. And the money that went into that school paid for that test for you to take. And the people who wrote down those questions, they're all responsible for you getting that A. You wouldn't have a test to take if it weren't for all those people behind the scenes who brought you the teacher, brought you the building for them to teach in, brought you the test, brought you the school book that you got to read. All of those hardworking individuals, they're responsible for you getting that A. You didn't get it on your own. Yeah, you're smart. You learned the work. But you wouldn't have any work if it wasn't for the rest of them. So we want a chunk of your A. And we want to give it to those less fortunate. Folks, I can use this with everything. I can use this on a homeless person. I could use this on every homeless person. Hey, Johnny the Bum, how much money did you make in panhandling today? $35? Well, Billy the Bum only made $15. And you know, if it wasn't for the sidewalk that the government put down for you to stand on, and where'd you get that cup from? Is that a Dixie cup? someone made that Dixie cup that you were getting your change in. And let me look at that bummy clothing you're wearing. Is that an old Garanimal shirt? Someone made the Garanimal so that you could look decent enough to get that money that you panhandled for. I think Garanimals should get some of that money you made today. Oh, and look over here. Oh, you got this prime location by that building. You know, that's a government building. Someone built that government building. We should take a piece. And when you were out there walking back and forth, and remember what you did with that $35? You went with that $35 and you went and got yourself a cup of coffee and a bagel. Well, it took people to make that bagel for you to eat. Or your ass would be starving. Somebody who made the bagel should get that money. Did you have cream cheese? Well, the Jews have to get some of that lox and bagel. They have to. We can attribute this to everything, folks. That's exactly what we can say to everything. We can attribute this to everything. You name it, we can attribute it. It doesn't matter. We can say that everything is responsible for someone else's success. But here's a better question. Who do I blame for the lack thereof? Who do I blame for the lack of success? I think I can blame plenty of people for the lack of success. I mean, couldn't we apply that to anything? Mary doesn't get to work on time. And it's because of the fact that there's construction happening on the 495. And that construction, which is taking too long, is creating traffic in order for her to get to work. And the reason why she's not there on time is because of government. And I should not be penalized, speaking for Mary, should not be penalized for coming late to work because government impeded my success. And what about me driving on a 495 and Bill crashes into Johnny a mile up, creating a 10-car pileup? And I'm late to work, and I lose an hour of work, and I get paid by the hour. Somebody should be responsible for that hour of work I just lost. Oh, no. You don't get, no, don't give me that BS about how I should have gotten up early. How was I supposed to know that Billy or Johnny were a bunch of lunatics on the road? I had no clue. And somebody's responsible for that. It's someone else's fault. It should be. I didn't get into the 10-car accident. I didn't start the 10-car accident. It's Johnny and Billy's fault. Johnny, Billy, I want an hour's worth of pay from you. Yeah, because you messed it up for everybody. In fact, everybody who was late for work today should make you pay for it. Shouldn't that be the case? Shouldn't it be the case for failure? I mean, let's say you go to a fast food restaurant, you find a finger in your French fries. I want to sue the guy who the finger belongs to. I don't care how I got there. Yes, I understand he lost his finger, but it's your responsibility to keep your digits on you. You need to keep your digits on you. I don't know, and it ended up in a fryer. I want you to pay from my pain and suffering. Yes, I know you lost the finger, but you know what? When you count the money that you owe me, use the good hand. It's your fault. I mean, that's the way it should go. That's the way it should go. It's sad, but it's true, folks. That's what this country is turning into. First of all, you are not responsible for your own success. That's everybody else's doing. You didn't do anything on your own. You didn't make it on your own. Your individualism no longer exists. That's the whole thing that conservatives are trying to combat in this country, is that exceptionalism exists. And people like Elizabeth Warren and the President of the United States is trying to dispel that by saying there's no such thing as exceptionalism. Oh, now, I agree with the fact that, look, you're not special until you've proven it. And when you've proven it and you've earned it, you deserve those accolades. But now, that exceptionalism is being marginalized. You didn't get anywhere without us. If you let guys like James Montgomery, who I hope calls into the show today, I hope that he argues, because he and I, back last year, sometime like May, had this same argument, and he believes the same thing, and I know where he sits here, so I'm not predicting where he'll go here. But he had this argument with me a year ago and said that the government, pardon me, that a company would be nothing without his employees. He's nothing without his employees. People made him. Forget about the fact that the company created itself, probably started off small with two or three people, maybe the guy, his wife, maybe his brother, maybe even his kids, started a company out of their garage, let it grow and grow and grow, and they needed to hire more employees. Now, all of a sudden, what they've invented meant nothing. The hardship, the loans that they put out, you know, on their homes, the things that they did that they sacrificed, the cutbacks that they had to make in their own personal lives, the debt they had to put themselves in because they believed in what it is that they were doing. None of that matters. None of that sacrifice means anything. The people who who Elizabeth Warren and the president believes is responsible is everybody else. You got that idea because you went to school in a public school. You got that because someone else put the idea in your head to think. You didn't think on your own. Someone taught you to think. You owe somebody. You owe us. And we're going to take it. We're going to take our share. That's where we are today, folks. It's sad, but it's true. We'll be back. Stick around. It's Reese on Radio. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Celebrating their 50th anniversary, the Rolling Stones. Congratulations to them. Nobody's dead. They're still rocking. Don't even get me started. But they got some great tunes that I like. I'm not a huge fan of the Rolling Stones, but I respect the craft. And I respect a couple of songs, of course, that they've done. That being one of them. A great group. Folks, before we get into this Meek Mills thing, a very scathing story came out today. that I didn't exactly want to talk about, but I think because of what I mentioned about the Meek Mills thing, I think it's appropriate. By the way, 35 minutes after the hour on July 16th, 2012, the number is 347-308-8701. All right, the George Zimmerman case, along with Trayvon Martin, for that matter, this story is going everywhere. And the prosecution is really hitting an all-time low in order to get the attention of the American people that George Zimmerman is a bad guy. And two of the biggest narratives in order to get, two of the biggest things that you could say about a person in order to get a horrible opinion of them is to use racism and sex. First, we'll break down the racism charge. Apparently, a woman, a young lady who is a friend of the family of George Zimmerman, today talked to, well, the video was, audio was released, of a conversation she had with the police department talking about George Zimmerman and his family. Now, this is what she had to say about George Zimmerman's family. Now, I want to remind you, in case you've forgotten, George Zimmerman's mother is Peruvian. Okay? Peruvian. And his father is white. I believe Jewish. Zimmerman, I mean, it seems like a Jewish last name. I'm only speculating there. But, you know, white, nonetheless.
He's Jewish.
He's Jewish. Okay, thank you, JC. So this is a friend of the family talking about the family being racist. In order for them to find out if George Zimmerman was racially motivated in shooting Trayvon Martin, this is what she said. Listen closely to this woman's testimony.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what that call was about?
Just that I was afraid that he may have done something because he's black.
Okay.
Because growing up, they've always made, him and his family have always made statements that they don't like black people if they don't act like white people. They like black people if they act like.
Called the Sanford Police Department in reference to George Zimmerman, and you had indicated yes, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can you elaborate a little bit on what that call was about?
Just that I was afraid that he may have done something because he's black.
Okay.
Because growing up, they've always made, him and his family have always made statements that they don't like black people if they don't act like white people. They like black people if they act white. And other than that, they talk a lot of bad things about black people.
By they and family, who are you meaning?
Him. His brother, his sister, his mom, his dad.
Okay. And again, just so we're clear, him is?
George.
George
Zimmerman. Yeah.
George Zimmerman. Are you aware of him ever taking an action, like a racial action against somebody because of race or something like that?
No.
Okay. And just be a little clearer on why you're saying that the family is racial.
His mother protested it very loud in I was working at. I was doing, and somebody was talking about Obama, and I said, oh yeah, did you hear about that? And she asked what, and I said, something to do with Obama, and you know, we were talking about it, and she said, I don't like Obama. I said, why not? You know, just thinking she was joking. And she said, because he is black. I am a racist. Just loud and proud. And in the middle of, and I have a black girl that works right behind me. And I'm like, what are you, just, let's go. And I just swept her kind of into the back of her. But I just could not believe that she sat there so loud and proud saying that she was a racist.
What about George? Has he ever said that specific?
I can't remember growing up exactly anything, but I know that's just a known thing that's how their family feels. Even, I mean, everybody.
Okay, but no specific that you can bring up to me right now. Okay. Anything, Jim, that you can think of?
No.
Okay. Again, can I get you to raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm this is true statements that you got?
So, if you heard this correctly, and I know it's a little choppy, this came from the Orlando Sentinel. If you got any bit of this, I'm going to break this down to you. The woman says that the Peruvian mother, whose grandfather and father are of dark skin. I mean, they are dark, dark. If you've seen the picture. I don't like Obama because I'm a racist. That's what the Peruvian mother is to have said. I don't like Obama because I'm a racist. She injected Barack Obama into this. This is a woman who has a child of mixed race. She's Peruvian. Her grandfather's dark. Her father's dark. Her husband's Jewish. She's a racist. She's a racist. That's what she says. But it gets uglier. It gets so much uglier. George Zimmerman is now being accused of sexually molesting this same girl. On Shepard Smith today, they logged this story.
There is nobody in this country.
Sorry. Damn. Here I go again screwing that up. Hold on. Here it is.
Can you elaborate a little?
Cannot believe I screwed this up. I had the damn audio. I cannot believe it. Here we go. Sorry. My apologies. Here it is. I am awful in my audio presentation today. I apologize, guys. Here we go.
What's grabbing the headlines is the charge of molestation. And, of course, keep in mind we're only hearing one side yet. We haven't heard from Omara or his defense team. And this claim by witness number 9 says it occurred over a period of 10 years, beginning when the witness was 6 years old, Zimmerman a couple of years older, and extending on and off until she was 16 years old.
Can you describe groping a little bit? What that means?
Under my shirt and just rub and grab my chest and put his hands down my pants again and just pull up the same stuff, giving them his fingers.
Witness number 9 said Zimmerman also molested a second girl, but she refused to name names. Shepard, have they explained what's relevant about this to the case at hand? Well, right now we're beginning to hear from Omara's team, who says this is completely irrelevant. We expect to hear more in a short time. That's probably why he tried to fight so hard to suppress this inflammatory testimony. But from the Martin family attorneys, they are saying, in fact, this testimony is relevant. They say it shows that George Zimmerman has a history of violence and manipulation. Shepard?
Steve Harrigan in our Florida newsroom. Steve, thank you. Let's take this to the legal panel. Former prosecutor and Fox News legal analyst Arthur Idala is here, as is the criminal defense attorney Randy Zell.
Now, I want to say something, because I'm going to play the rest of this audio, because I want to talk to you about the exchange that happens between the two lawyers in this. This is something you need to hear. But let's break this down. This is a young lady who says that George Zimmerman molested her when she was 6 and George was 8. She claims that it went on in front of family members, George Zimmerman's family members, for 10 years. Never reported. When they asked her why she came forward today, she said, and I quote, she was no longer afraid of him. Now, let me make this abundantly clear. George Zimmerman has a 9mm, or had a 9mm. Right? 9mm gun. Went out there and, quote unquote, shot this unarmed boy. She's no longer afraid of him. She injects Barack Obama. She has no discerning proof that George Zimmerman has done anything racially. It's just publicly known that they're racist. And she also says that she was molested from when she was 6 years old until she was 16, and George Zimmerman was 18 years old. 10 years. And the prosecutor is putting that out there, that George Zimmerman, they believe that this goes to the character of George Zimmerman. And Trayvon Martin's family believes that, no, this is good. This should go out there. But I remember, JC, back it up. Didn't you say that it was wrong to bring up Trayvon Martin's misgivings about his past, about his No Limit Nigga stuff on his Twitter account just weeks, if not months, before he died? Wasn't it you who said that, JC? Creep, 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 creep. Nothing. This isn't relevant anymore? I didn't think so. So let's just attack the credibility of an 8-year-old boy. No proof, none whatsoever, but they love putting this out there. They're the two hardest things to prove in the court of public opinion, because all you have to do is say that he molested somebody and it's believed. And you know it is. You know it's going to be believed. People already don't like him. What do you think the motivation of this young lady? What could possibly be the motivation of this young lady? He put his hands up my shirt when I was 8 years old. Oh, 6 years old, pardon me. And he was 8. And this all has bearing on the shooting of unarmed Trayvon Martin some 20 years later. 20 years later. But they're releasing it. And the press can't get enough. Now, I want you to hear this exchange. Because this guy, I believe his name is Randy Zeller. And you're going to hear him at the end. You're going to hear him at the end. There's this David Ayala. And I know who this lawyer is. He defended somebody I know. He's a Fox contributor. These are defense attorneys having a discussion about George Zimmerman. Defense attorneys. One defense attorney is making the case for the prosecution. Unheard of. And maybe it's just for opinion purposes. Fine, you know, we want to get, you know, dissenting views. You know, this guy, you know, gives that view, this one. Then you bring a prosecutor on. But no, they're bringing two defense attorneys in to talk about this new revelation, I guess, and Trayvon Martin and the sexual assault, if it were, or the alleged sexual assault. Listen to this exchange.
And then just look, Chuck, what was it, a month ago, Mara released a tape of him walking through the scene and describing what happened where. Now the prosecutor's doing that. It's like a tennis match. all for public relations. That's what this is for. All this stuff is not going to be admissible. Come on, when he's 8 years old, he did something. I mean, it's different because what was just reported is it went on until she was 16. Now, if he's 18,
that's
16, that's a little different than 8 and 6. And the fact that the other girls, as always, everyone knows they're racist, that's... If somebody came in and said, a week before this took place, Mr. Zimmerman said, I don't like black people, that may be something that's relevant. But, oh, the whole neighborhood knows he didn't like black people. How do you know that? Oh, I don't know. This is just a public relations war to poison the minds of the jurors. On the defense side, they have their points. On the prosecutor side, and now it's time for the judge to do something very simple that judges do all the time.
Now, that's Ayala. That's Ayala speaking. Now, listen to the dissenting side of a defense attorney.
You got it. Gag order. Shut up. No one can talk. Why are they releasing this on the internet?
Reporters hate gag orders.
I know. I'm sorry, Chuck.
I'm just letting you know.
I'm a lawyer guy.
Here. Yeah, Randy.
Well, let's work backwards. The problem is you have a judge who already in this case has commented about his personal feelings, in my opinion, about George Zimmerman going above and beyond the question of whether or not the man is a flight risk and whether or not he's going to come back to court. So that's problem one. But to Arthur's point, the difference between what the defense did and what the prosecution did, the defense did a reenactment of the crime scene about what happened.
Yeah, but it was...
But wait a second. And the prosecution is throwing up everything except but what happened. Molestation accusations going back 50 years ago, his family are a bunch of racists. What does that have to do with whether or not George Zimmerman acted in self-defense? Nothing.
No, both sides are doing it, Randy.
No, they reenacted the crime scene.
And one guy did it, the guy who's accused of
the
crime.
The defendant.
Right, you don't think he reenacted it in a way that's favorable to him?
I don't know.
And so we could all put it on TV to let the jurors see him being all about it. Come on.
Did he mention that reenactment?
Very,
that the 911 operator said
different than what the prosecution is doing.
Did he mention the reenactment? Oh, that's when I got the call from the police department and I said, don't do it, but I disagree with him. He didn't say that.
By the way, who was on the phone with him?
The police?
No, his private investigator.
His private investigator?
Okay, so has the prosecution come out and said anything to refute that?
Bottom line is...
The physical evidence is consistent with his version.
Randy, we're lawyers. It's supposed to be tried in a courtroom, not on Studio B. I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on. And both sides are 100% involved in the court
poison. What the prosecution did, a potential juror sitting out there, what the prosecution did...
Who knows?
Like talking about allegations of molestation 50 years ago and racism, or the defendant reenacting the crime scene?
Who, in a light that's most favorable to him. Tell me.
I've seen reenacting crime scenes before. I've seen the defendant have to be there for that sort of thing. I've never been fed a piece of propaganda like that everybody's run with before. And if that's just private investigators and their own team going out there to tell his story, that's awful. Because if he wants to tell his story, he can get up on camera and talk to a seasoned questioner and maybe we'll find out a few things about that guy.
Also known as a close examiner.
Yeah, we found out a little bit about Jerry Sandusky when he
talked out too well.
No, but we found out about it. I'm not worried about how it works out. I'm worried about finding out what happened.
But I think
we know what happened with Jerry Sandusky.
In this country, we have a right not to incriminate ourselves.
We sure do. But I don't know if we have to take that load of propaganda there, and this is all propaganda, and away we go. We do what we do.
Well, once people
run with everything they have.
Once people understand the presumption of innocence, maybe defendants won't have to do that.
That's the line. Once people understand the presumption of innocence, then people like George Zimmerman don't have to do these things where they push out, you know, this quote-unquote videos of him reenacting the crime or reenacting what happened or whatever it was. They don't have to do that. But listen to it again and listen to the way that they respond to it. The presumption of innocence. That's what it should be. Always should be the presumption of innocence. And this is how they respond to that presumption of innocence. To that claim that's being made about the presumption of innocence. The way that they look at it is absolutely asinine. Asinine.
Once people understand the presumption of innocence, maybe defendants won't have to do that.
I got a soapbox for you. It's in the middle of 6th Avenue.
Hey,
all the lights are set
green. I believe in the presumption of innocence.
Well,
so should everybody else.
Can we all sing something together? Sing something patriotic now.
When you're a defendant, you mean something.
Okay, I didn't mean really do it. Randy, the soapbox. Thank you.
So the presumption of innocence means nothing. That's what they're saying. The presumption of innocence means nothing. In essence, I think what these two lawyers, well, at least one lawyer is saying, is that that's preposterous. Is that there is no presumption of innocence. Throw that out the window. So therefore, you're not innocent until proven guilty. Which we know is the order of the day. Is that when you are on trial or when you have charges put against you, there is a presumption of innocence. There has to be, until something else proves that you're guilty. Innocent until proven guilty. And that means nothing. So it means that anybody can just accuse you of a crime, and that's it. You're just done. You're just done. Well, that's the only point that I could possibly make. It's sad, but it is the state of our union. It is incredibly sad, but it is the state of our union. All right, so more on that as that story develops. We will get into it. When we come back at 9 o'clock, Meek Mills has a rap record saying that he's got boys that will rape your honey. Why isn't the hip-hop community responding? When we get back, it's Reese on the Radio. On the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up and spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you enjoy.
I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh,
you're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknight, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies. Policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward in the state of our union this morning.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
You are the worst person I know. I think what I hate most about you is your textbook liberal agenda, how we should legalize pot, man, how big business is crushing the underclass, how homelessness is the biggest tragedy in America. Well, what have you done to help? I work down at the soup kitchen. Never seen you down there. You want to help? Grab a ladle. And by the way, driving a Prius doesn't make you Jesus Christ. Oh, wait, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, or any religion for that matter, because religion is for idiots. Well, who the hell are you to talk down to anyone? But you know what? I can forgive all of that, all of it, if you weren't such a bore. That's the worst of it. You're just a big, sad bore.
Running down a dream right here on Reese on the Radio, 3 minutes after the hour on blogtalkradio.com, July the 16th, 2012. Mike in Florida. There's a reason why I love you, boy. There's a reason why I love you, boy. Oh, man. And I look, I got to give it to Mike. Mike just sent me a detailed account of the young lady who is making these allegations against George Zimmerman. And oh man, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen to this. Let's see if we can, let's see what we got here. We got dating back to August of 2007. We got a citation. We got a DUI technician report, request for test affidavit, breath alcohol test affidavit, affidavit for refusal to submit to a breath, urine, or blood test, DUI video task force format implied consent affidavit, bond slip, arraignment set, notice for arraignment, notice of discovery, written plea not guilty, waiver of arraignment, request for copy of charge, notice of appearance, charge not guilty, or made a plea of not guilty. Driving over median of divided highway, defendant entered a written plea. I guess that was of not guilty. According to this report, we got a drunk. Apparently, we've got a drunk. And this is all, I guess this is all one court case that just went for months. Early terminations, what is this stuff? Balance of deposit. I got to read every part of this thing. Did she ever plead guilty? Did she ever go to jail? I'm reading most of this stuff. I guess this went on for a year.
Maurice.
What's up?
I got to ask you. What makes any of this relevant as to whether her story is true or not?
Well, apparently this girl's got a sordid history. If we're going to talk about George Zimmerman when he was 8, then we have to talk about her what happened to, you know, a couple of years ago. Why not? If everything is up for grabs here, shouldn't her personal records be a part of that?
Well, it would not. Would this not be, again, like that member of that guy from the Florida NRA that we had on a while ago, go so that Florida must not like Missouri. I don't understand why would this any of this be relevant to what she had to say about Zimmerman? This is like guilty by what, semantics as well?
The problem with this is the fact that this girl sounds like she's got something to prove or some vendetta. There's something along those lines. Something along those lines. She's got something. She's got some vendetta. She's got some personal issues with George Simpson. That's what
okay,
I mean.
Okay, okay. Okay, having said that, like what Mike brought up before with Trayvon Martin's history. So did the state of Florida have a vendetta against Trayvon Martin because of his past, that it's okay for him to have gotten killed because of his history?
Whoa. First of all, this wasn't some girlfriend coming forward and saying Trayvon was, you know, a thug or a no-limit nigga. This is Trayvon Martin's own postings on his Twitter account. These are his personal thoughts and feelings.
But Reese, again, that would have nothing to do with what went on that very night and the circumstances that led up to him dying.
I'm not disputing that. Only thing I'm saying is that if it's relevant, the person it was, Trayvon Martin, who was accosted for his delivery of order. If he was impeded by delivering that to his little brother, because that was the narrative, that's what people try to portray, that he went to the store for his little brother to go get some Skittles and some watermelon juice. That was the whole idea. And then we find out Trayvon Martin was this innocent kid, child, baby, little boy. Trayvon was hunted down like a rabid dog. You know all those lines.
I understand, and I'll give you that. And that was the narrative that was initially given. I mean, we all know that Trayvon wasn't no little boy, although the pictures that they kept flashing, he was a 12-year-old or a damn 11-year-old or something. No, the boy was 6'3". He was a football player, track star, and yeah, he was a troubled youth.
Yes, he was.
But prior to that night, he was gunned down. And, you know, I'll take that back. He wasn't gunned down. During the night of the incident, the shooting, none of that matters.
But, okay, JC, if we're going to talk about character here, okay?
No, and we're going to talk about...
No, Hear me out. I'm going to bring Mike in. Hear me out. Okay? I want to talk about the recent history of George Zimmerman versus the recent history of Trayvon Martin. Weeks prior to the death, if not a week prior to the death of Trayvon Martin, Trayvon Martin was suspended from school because he was caught with traces of marijuana in his book bag, as well as robbery instruments and women's jewelry. That's a fact. Yes or no?
That is what was reported, yeah.
Fact. Never reported. That's a fact. And his mother and his family were outraged that that was made public. But these are a week, if not 2 weeks, prior to his death. That is a fact. Let's talk weeks before George Zimmerman shoots him. Had there been a mass amount of robberies, based upon the stories that we read and the report that was done by Reuters, there were robberies, people breaking into people's homes, wearing hoodies. They even broke into a woman's home who was a next-door neighbor while she was in the house with her six-month-old child. Six-month-old child. There were people robbing them. George Zimmerman knew about that and took over as the neighborhood watch captain to report those criminals into the neighborhood. Now, we're talking about one 17-year-old kid who had just been kicked out of school for having stolen property on him, going into a neighborhood where people had been robbed, right? And George Zimmerman shoots him. Now, if we want to bring up everybody's past here, let's just talk about what happened weeks before, because recent history is much more relevant than what happened than when George Zimmerman was 8 and 16, or 8 and 18, and what Trayvon Martin was when he was 12. We're talking about the weeks leading to the shooting. And I'm sorry, if profiling were the case here, Trayvon Martin fit the profile of a criminal based on recent past of behavior. Weed smoking, robbery suspect with women's jewelry. George Zimmerman, neighborhood watch captain, who lived in the neighborhood plagued with break-ins. Who are you going to look for in that scenario?
Well, Reed, whether you smoke weed the week before or even the day before, none of that matters. I mean, George Zimmerman was on all kinds of drugs, according to the toxicology report, the night of the shooting.
Who was on drugs? That, who was on drugs?
George Zimmerman.
What drugs was he on?
Let me go dig it up. I saved that page. So I was waiting for this conversation.
Hold on. Let's take George Zimmerman's account to the 911 tape. The 911 tape reveals that George Zimmerman said he looks like he's on drugs or something. George Zimmerman was right, wasn't he? Because there was THC in Trayvon Martin's system when he died. So if there was profiling going on, it seems to me that George Zimmerman, this guy was spot on. George Zimmerman has a damn good assessment of this young man. He looks like he's on drugs or something. Turns out he was. George Zimmerman is wrong?
No, because THC was in your system for 30 days.
No. Is George Zimmerman right, or was it a lucky guess?
No. It wasn't even a lucky guess, because THC was in your system for 30 days.
Smoker, right? It's clear that he's weed smoking. Whether it's smoking 30 days before, or a day before, or an hour before he was shot, this kid does drugs. George Zimmerman spotted it. This guy looks like he's on drugs or something. It turns out he had THC in his system. Drugs. Sounds like he was right to me. There's no argument to dispute it. Because he had drugs in his system. any drugs in them. But he did. Mark Tank in George Zimmerman's column. Let's bring in Mike.
Man, Reese, your phone is really bad.
Oh, I'm on my mic.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Gotta take JC out of here. But did you get my point?
Yeah, I get your point. And what JC is a little off. There was no toxicology report on George Zimmerman. What he's referencing is the fact that Zimmerman had a prescription for Adderall and one for, I believe, Xanax. But that doesn't mean that he was on Adderall or Xanax at the time of the shooting.
Right.
You know, the adults I know who have Adderall prescriptions for adult ADD use it basically when they have something to get done. It's, like college students do. It's a performance enhancer. It's a study aid. It doesn't mean that he was popping Adderall all day long.
Right.
And now the FBI interviewed Chris Serino, the lead investigator in the case, you know, the one who the media tried to tell us voluntarily took a transfer from being a detective to being a traffic officer.
Right.
Because cops do that all the time. FBI has, in their report, says there's no evidence this was a racially motivated case. The quotes are, an ex-girlfriend says that Zimmerman had plenty of black friends and was the last person she'd expect to get into that kind of confrontation. He was calm and easygoing, even when someone removed the special ergonomic chair from his desk. This is just character assassination.
Oh,
I can't believe that they let that woman get on the stand and bring up unsubstantiated and unprovable rumors that George Zimmerman was an 8-year-old finger banger.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, for that, if that's how the legal system's going to work, then people can get on the stand and say anything about you at all, and if you have an incompetent defense attorney, that just gets put into the public record and into the media. What the hell?
That's the part that I think that's so, for me, it's so damning about what it is that this prosecution is doing. This prosecution is literally setting out to destroy the character of George Zimmerman. As far as public opinion is concerned, if I had done this, if you look at the prosecutor in my case, they didn't like that I revealed what happened in my trial because they said, quote unquote, it would taint the jury. And I said, whoa. So promoting the facts in the case would taint the jury. I didn't paint my accuser in any particular way other than stating what they said. What was being said by the accuser? That's all I did. Right? Not my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Not what I thought of her as an individual. What the individual said. In this case, they're trudging up something that happened over 20 years ago in order to paint him as a bad guy. Oh, this and the Trayvon Martin's family to suggest to say, oh, this goes straight to the character of the man. What he did when he was 8.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that what matters when what that would matter what happened when he was 8 years old. But according to MSNBC, Zimmerman himself was on a prescription to Mazepan, and that was according to the paramedics' incident report that was produced in his medical records from the night.
Well,
of the incident.
It's not a toxicology report. Just because he had a script, they didn't draw blood. The man wasn't arrested.
He told the paramedic that was what he was on. His words, not mine. His.
And it's Xanax. You ever take Xanax? It doesn't make you crazy and psychotic.
That's a valid question.
It does have those, but it has those side effects. And
no,
how do you know what? How
it affects
one person?
Makes you relax. It's a sedative.
And how? What's that?
It's a sedative.
You talking about Tamazepam?
For that matter, you may as well go back to Reefer Madness and say, oh, you know, Trayvon Martin was on the hemp. He was going to go rape white women.
I'll go one further, JC. If he was indeed on Xanax at the time of the confrontation, if he indeed was on it, this would then again push that idea. It would push the idea that the reason why George Zimmerman was so easily subdued by this child, so to speak, was because he was on a Xanax prescription, that he was weak. It's a sedative. Right? It would not promote the fact that he was violent. In what way would he even promote it?
But I mean, temazepam and Xanax is not, and Xanax is not the same deal.
Xanax? Really?
No, temazepam.
So it's still a sedative.
And does not, but it still has different side effects than Xanax does. It has a different side effect. Unless you're a doctor, you can't really know that.
Whoa.
First of all, the brand name for temazepam is Restoril, which is used for treating anxiety.
Exactly.
It's a benzodiazepine, which is the same family of drugs as Valium.
Yes, exactly. Therefore, it's a sedative. It is a sedative. This does not make you violent. If anything, it's been known for people to commit suicide as opposed to them creating violent action towards others.
It's a sleeping pill. And again, I seriously doubt the man popped up a sleeping pill before he drove the target.
Say again, Mike?
I doubt the man popped a sleeping pill before he drove the target. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'll make that argument as well. Let's bring Edward in. Edward.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, boss man? How are you? How's your weekend?
Good. Yeah, the percentages of people who, you know, do experience these side effects on these drugs are very, very small. I think even insignificant in this case. You know, I don't really think that's, really valid.
What do you think about this whole idea with this one? By the way, that woman's name, I want to bring Mike in on this. That woman's name that you gave me, how did you find that information on this woman who's making these allegations against George Zimmerman?
That website that I refer to, theconservativetreehouse.com,
yes,
has a mass of people who spread out and search the net and find this stuff.
Yeah, that's a great website.
It is a really deep source of information.
And I'm stunned that they actually found out. Now, do we know anything about this woman and her relationship to the Zimmerman family?
Not that I've found out yet. She's some kind of cousin. I'm sorry. She's a cousin.
Okay, so she is Latino then?
Oh, yeah. Her maiden name was Meza.
Okay, Meza.
Meza.
Okay, so she is a Latino woman. I find that incredibly.
She's Latina. If I was going to bet, I'd say she was Cuban.
Yeah, that sounds a little. I would stretch it a little further into South America.
And it's some kind of cousin, but yeah, it's just character assassination. Why they let her on the stand with that? Zimmerman has a terrible lawyer. Obviously. I mean, this guy is incompetent.
Yeah, he did try to fight it. He tried to fight this audio from even coming out. But, of course, they were unsuccessful. But you know what? Trying to paint him as some sort of, you know, I don't know how the two in any way associate with one another. You know, one suggests he's a molester, and in some ways that would suggest that he would kill someone based on their race. And she comes up with this elaborate idea that, oh, everybody knows that they're racist. This is a mixed family of Peruvians and Jews, and they're racist.
Well, and the narrative getting painted that somehow being racist is, first of all, illegal, and it's not, and that having racist beliefs, even if so, would have any bearing on the fact that he hunted this guy down and shot him.
And what they said is they don't like black people who act black. But who, if you had your choice to hang out with, oh, I don't know, Alan West or the Ying Yang Twins, who are you going to hang out with?
Whoa, that's actually perfect.
Jesus, I don't want to hang out with those people either. But I hang out with all kinds of black people.
I couldn't agree more. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Okay, when we come back, I got to play this movie trailer with Charles S. Dutton. Have you guys seen it? The Obama Effect?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay, I got to play the audio. We'll get some reaction to that. And then there's Meek Mills talking about raping or getting his boys to rape your honey. When we get back, stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
Gave him the Nobel Peace Prize without him doing anything, and he took it. He changed healthcare for millions of Americans, even though they liked what they had. He says he will tell Iran to quit making nukes and they will stop, because he is just that good. To him, the Supreme Court is nothing but an unelected group of people. You want president? He is the president. He picked Joe Biden to be his vice president, just to show that he doesn't really need one. He wants us to believe no one else in America would have made the Bin Laden call. He is the most arrogant man in the world. I ultimately get what I want. Stay ignorant, my friends.
On the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
President Obama promised us his health care law.
It is absolutely not a tax increase.
Now we know that's not true. Obama's health care law is actually one of the largest tax increases in history. Shouldn't Obama's priorities have been creating jobs and ending reckless spending? Instead, he focused on a $2 trillion health care takeover that we have to pay for. How can we afford this tax? We're already struggling. Tell Obama, repeal the health care law and pass patient-centered reform.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else, as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said. which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. Radio, we're back. 30 minutes. Bottom of the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, I gotta play this audio. It is a movie starring Charles S. Dutton and Cat Williams. The movie is called The Obama Effect. Now, I'll give you the premise
of
this.
Is it a movie?
It's a movie in theaters. A movie in theaters. The breakdown is this. Charles S. Dutton's character has a heart attack. He almost dies. When he comes out, after the whole heart attack, he decides that he has found a new mission in life. He is about to be a part of the re-election, or the election, I should say, of Barack Obama. That Obama causes him to change his life. Now, I want you to listen to this audio. This is not a movie anybody's going to run to see. I'll tell you that right off the bat. I know it right off the bat. But it's just something you have to. It's just something that you have to hear for yourself.
You know what we're listening to here, Mac? History in the making. The man is the next president of the United States.
Oh, come on! I don't know about that.
The country can't survive another 4 years of a Republican.
John, you okay?
After facing the end.
A heart attack, John.
It was time for a new beginning.
What do you do when you fall off the path and you want to get back on?
You just keep following the blueprint the Lord puts in front of you.
We are one nation. We are one people. And our time for change has come. Big history, folks. History!
No, not this wall. Just leave me something, baby.
This is an important time, people. Don't be on the wrong side of history.
We've been neighbors for a long time, John. I've never seen you act this way, man. Well, you want to know how I really feel? I feel strongly about being undecided.
My letter of resignation.
You're willing to quit your job over this?
Some things are worth quitting your job over.
Have you lost your... What are we going to do for money?
She didn't say that. She said Igor. That's my nickname.
Starring Charles S. Dutton.
I thought maybe I could get a loan from your nephew.
You are wasting your time if you're trying to recruit him.
Cat Williams.
I'm a Republican. A gun-toting, God-fearing, pro-war, flag-waving, anti-this, anti-that, anti-black, if it'll make me some money. Your man can't win. He just can't win, John.
Megan Good. Vanessa Bell Calloway. Emilio Rivera. Glenn Turman. And introducing Sam Judah.
Anybody who's with the Obama campaign is gonna be all right.
Yeah, I'm working for free.
Original music by CeeLo Green.
Black man is running for president. Because of my record, I can't vote.
Even Superman can't take more than 6 direct hits of kryptonite before he has to go to that ice cave. Whew. Time for everybody to go.
A people's past, a nation's future, one man's passion.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
The Obama Effect.
Oh, mighty white of you.
Okay, first of all, when I saw this, I didn't even know. My initial reaction was, oh, of course they're going to put this movie out right before the election. You know, it's perfectly timed by them. But there's a line in that movie, I think, that's going to destroy the Obama administration. And that is, whoever's with Barack Obama is going to be all right. Really? If there's anybody with the Obama administration, they're going to be all right. I can't stop laughing at that.
You've got to be kidding me.
Well, come on, JC. You didn't hear about this movie?
No, I just watched the trailer. Now, breaking it down real quick. Charles Dutton hasn't really been in a movie since Menace to Society.
What do you mean, Menace to Society? Don't let Sutton was in Get on the Bus.
That was straight to DVD ass movie. Are you kidding me? Who went to go see that?
I saw that. I went to the theaters to see Get on the Bus.
Well, you ought to go back and get your $7 back, because Spike Lee owes you $7.
He always owes me $7.
Cat Williams. Cat Williams hasn't had a job or a stand-up act since Michael Jackson died.
Not true.
That's a lie. And, you know, I love Cat Williams. I think he's hilarious. I love that.
What have you seen Cat Williams in, Mary?
Oh, wait. Let's not forget Cat Williams.
When
just
did we watch him? When
we watched him? Don't forget Cat Williams. That crazy movie last year. He ripped apart that next when he was doing his show in Phoenix. And he was touting USA. 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 When that Mexican was talking about how Arizona used to be Mexico. That was a huge story last year. So, but, I mean, come on, we know that this movie is a joke. This is to gin up support for the Obama administration. You need to be a part of history. If you're for Obama, you're going to be all right. And we know that's a bunch of bull. That nobody's all right, especially within the black community. This is a joke. Edward, please tell me, when you saw this,
the
what did
only
you think?
Two reasons. The only two reasons to watch this movie is Megan Good and Vanessa Bell Calloway.
First of all, Megan's middle name is not so. So I wouldn't watch any movie she's in. Because she's not so good in anything she does. Edward, please, what did you think when you saw this video, when you saw this trailer?
Oh, I thought this was a total joke. But I'm interested in going to see it. Because at movies like this, I love laughing at the inappropriate places where the other Negroes are sitting in there crying and dabbing their eyes with, you know, napkins. I will be laughing my ass off.
That's exactly where I would laugh. Especially when I understand that there is some stand-in. If you saw the trailer, there's a stand-in of a guy who looks very similar to Barack Obama. I don't know if you saw that.
At the very end. Yeah,
when he says that line about 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and there's a silhouette of a man who looks eerily like President Obama. And, you know, I'm sitting up here going, like, this guy is thinking, you know, because he got to see Barack Obama, that his prophecy has finally been realized. You know, it's like, I've been stumping for this guy. I finally got to meet him. And it's like, look, we understand the enthusiasm of electing the first black president. But do you think that enthusiasm is there anymore today? Today?
Well, you know what's funny about the movie? This whole thing with Charles Dutton, it seems like he got this, you know, epiphany when he had a heart attack. Heart attacks cause brain damage. So,
you nailed it. You're absolutely right. I didn't think of that. I did not think of that. That's right. Come on, Mike, you saw this trailer. What did you think?
Well, you know, I think it's a little telling that for the pro-Obama movie, your two stars are Charles Dutton, who did two stints in prison, one for manslaughter and one for carrying a deadly weapon, and Cat Williams, who's been arrested for all kinds of crazy crap, including carrying a stolen gun in the airport, stealing coins and jewelry, assault on a tractor driver for hitting some guy with rocks and dirt,
felony intimidation of a witness. These are fantastic people. Yeah, is that the Obama support base? You know, murderers and violent criminals?
Again, you know what? Nailed it. Exactly what I thought about this, and I continue to think about this. I'm going, who are these people who are supporting Barack Obama? Look, we understand that they're talking to their base. I get that, that they're talking to their base. But if this movie, I mean, I don't know how much it cost. In fact, JC, do me a favor. Go to our favorite website for movies. In fact, it's called boxofficemojo.com. Let's find out how much this movie cost to make. Now,
it couldn't have cost much.
It couldn't have.
What do you pay Cat Williams in, blunts?
No, you pay him in hoes.
Exactly.
He has a pimp called Slick Mac.
Yeah, I'm almost certain. In fact, I'm going to try to look it up right now. Boxofficemojo.com, which is a great site to find out how much a movie costs to make and how much movie it makes, you know, here and overseas. Let me see. The Obama effect. I think, Edward, you nailed it for the night, that heart attacks cost brain damage. Oh, my God. Hold on. I'm here. I'm on the site. Okay. Apparently, this movie is only an hour and 25 minutes long.
And it cost them $73,000.
No. That's how much it made. It made $73,000 domestically.
How many theaters?
Yeah, that's right. That's important. Very, very valid question. Yeah, because you have to know how many theaters it's in. Let me see. I'm looking down here.
It doesn't even say.
No, it actually doesn't. Let me see. Showtimes. Apparently, I didn't know it was in theaters. It is in theaters.
Keep in mind, they already can't promote or sell movies with a full, complete black cast.
Well, I mean, but come on, $73,000? This thing is not on track to make any amount of
it's
money.
It's number 38.
No.
It's in 25 theaters.
Oh, that's right. Widest release, 25 theaters, in release for 3 days. And it's only made $73,000.
It's ranked number 38 within those 25 theaters.
But its all domestic ranking is 8,934. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's what are they giving some small release in a theater in Compton where they can put out the DVD?
Well, let's look at the weekend gross.
It's probably in prisons only.
Again. That's bad.
Only being shown to people that are going to be released in the next 5 months.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't have a felony...
Or the next 4 months, rather, because when... Oh, no, it's not... Damn, we're in July already.
Okay, so right.
August, September, October, November, 4 months.
Yeah, so it released on July 13th, this past Friday. So July 13th through the 15th, the weekend box office was $73,000 in 25 theaters, which definitely means this is not going to do well. So, I'm actually stunned by it. Okay, let me get to this story. Mary, I'm glad you're here for this one. This is a stunning.
Can I say something about George Zimmerman crap?
Oh, go ahead, please. Remember, I mean, can you do it in 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Who the hell is this chick? Why is she now coming forward telling them that they're racist? And not only is she telling them that they're racist, but she's saying, oh, by the way, that racist has been molesting me.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently he, you know.
And he was 8 years old and she was 6 years old.
I don't know.
And it happened in front of other family members?
Apparently. In the audio that I got, she said that the family members were around watching this happen.
Well, maybe it shouldn't be, let me stop. I'm not going to say that.
Are you going to say something mean?
Yeah, but I'll refrain.
All right.
I mean, okay. I just don't get who the hell is she? Where did she come from? Why are you now? Like, when did that audio take place? When did that...
Oh, this audio? No, this was just recently during the investigation as to find out whether or not George Zimmerman was racially motivated in the shooting.
Okay, so they were doing an investigation, and they decided to interview his family members. Is that correct?
Anybody that they can get. This is the FBI.
Anybody that would...
That would come forward. Yeah.
So they didn't force anybody
and
to come
forward. No, they had subpoena power.
But they didn't use that.
Sure they did.
Did they really? Who did they subpoena?
Well, they subpoenaed anybody who was associated with him, and they would get anything that they could grab. But hold on. I need to get into this. This is important. I want you to hear this lyric. I need you to hear this. As a woman, I need you to hear this lyric. Now, I've said this over and over again. I got Sandra Bernhardt kicked off of a charity event in Boston back in 2008. JC, he knows this well. I got her kicked off of that because she said that when Sarah Palin was coming to New York, in 2008.
That somebody ought to rape her.
Right. She hopes that five black guys rape her. And I said, when is rape funny? Well, my question now is, when is rape art? This is Meek Mills, part of the...
Cash Money. Right?
No. Rick Ross. That Maybach Music Group. He did a song with Nori from Capone and Noriega, and he spit this lyric. Just in case you missed it, I'll play it again. You heard it.
Did he say have a nigga take your bitch and rape your honey? Gotcha.
Have a nigga take your
bitch.
My niggas. Have my niggas take your bitch and rape your honey. Have a large group of his niggas rape your honey. Has it really come to that? Really, has it come to that? In order to be provocative, in order to be gangster, has it really come to that? And there's not one person in the hip-hop community flipping out behind this? What am I missing, gentlemen?
Well, most people probably can't even hear the lyric because you really have to listen. I didn't hear it the first time, and even the second time I had to really listen unless it's just, you know, not really great audio or something. I don't know. But, I mean, come on. Can't we? What happened to talking about, you know, matching velour suits and shell top Adidas?
Well, that's
standing on 215.
That's
what happened to the Bristol Hotel?
Okay, so here's what the question I posed, gentlemen. My question is, look, we understand that since the NWA days, which really pushed the envelope on what it is that we could talk about in rap records.
That was more political.
But no, it wasn't. It was them talking. Eazy-E made a strong argument. Look, we're just talking about what really happens in our neighborhood, what real life is,
I think that that was the subject of what they spoke about because it was, you know, that was something that they were talented in doing.
Well, no,
I think that there was a political movement behind that. I think that
there may have been. There was a censorship argument that happened after the fact, but they were pushing the argument. We need to talk about the real stuff. No more partying and having a good time. There's real, real trouble within our community.
Forget about breakdancing on
a
cardboard
exactly.
box.
We need to talk about that.
I need you to get a 9mm and shoot them up.
But now this whole toughness thing, do we get to the point where it was bad enough when we were talking about bang, bang, shoot 'em up, nigga, die slow. But now we got a rapper talking about, I'm going to have my niggas.
Well, but look at Rihanna. I mean, she doesn't talk about being raped, but one of her songs that made me absolutely love her was chains and whips.
Okay, that's fine, but she's not talking about being raped.
No, but she's talking about being definitely
dominated.
Yeah,
but okay, you
want to really dominated and in a painful way.
Okay, but do you really, really want to? I mean, I don't think she's suggesting that she wants to
chains. And, oh, yes, she was.
All right, whatever, gentlemen. What am I missing here? Is the bottom line? Is that everything is right now? Anything can be talked about. Now it's okay. It was bad enough calling women bitches and hoes, but now we can talk about raping them.
Well, I think I'm gonna take a little different take, and I think I might surprise you, Reese. You originally said that I think that this is art, that rap is art. You know, if you go by that reasoning. I think that, you know, if you look at movies, you look at literature, look at some great movies like Deliverance, look at some great TV shows like Oz, these have had rape scenes in them. I've just finished reading some books at Game of Thrones. You know, there's rape from the first book to the last one. But, you know, these are all considered really great forms of art and literature. Now, I'm not saying that what his particular song is great, but I don't think it's off limits in a form of art.
Okay, but, I mean, if you want to talk about...
But is today's hip-hop really a form of art? What kind of art is that? I mean, that's way beyond
abstract.
I
want to hear Mike's take on this before I hear JC's take on it.
There's no consistency. Do you guys know who Daniel Tosh is?
No, yep. That doesn't sound familiar to me.
Okay, Tosh is a stand-up comedian. And he got his ass handed to him last week.
Right,
He had a bit on stage where he said that rape jokes were always funny, and some heckler got all pissed off. So Tosh, the way you handle a heckler is you shut him down. So
right.
He said, "Wouldn't it be funny if five guys raped her right now? Ha ha!" And the media eviscerated Tosh.
Right. Although
he's a stand-up comedian, and you know,
comedians usually
get a pass on this stuff.
But Mike, several comedians even came forward and defended him, and said that was okay. But I will be honest. If you're having a dialogue about whether or not a rape joke is funny, as if to say, look, as comedians, we talk about everything, and we could talk about terrorism, we could talk about terrorists killing people, we could talk about racism, we could talk about all those things. Is there subject matter that is off limits? And if you're having that conversation as a comedian, and I believe that Tosh was doing that, I believe Daniel Tosh was doing that. He was saying, you know, can we make a joke about rape and make it funny? I don't agree with what he said after the fact, like heckling her by saying, oh, wouldn't it be funny? No, it wouldn't be funny if she was raped by five guys when she walked out the door. That's over the line. And his conversation was fine in dialogue, saying,
yeah,
you know, jokes are always funny, and I'll explain to you. And then the crowd responds either favorably or not, and then he proves his point or he doesn't. But then when the woman says, look, they're never funny, and she heckles him, and then his response to her is, wouldn't it be funny if she was raped by five guys? Now you're over the line.
Well, yeah, but I've seen hecklers get a lot worse stuff said to them than that. You ever watch like Comic View? I've seen comedians say, I'm going to come down there and slap you in the face with my junk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. But again,
slapping you in your face with my junk is like a physical threat. Well, I guess rape is a physical threat toward you, too.
Sure.
But I don't, I mean.
I just kind of look at, you know, Tosh saying what he did is different than Meek Mill in a song saying, I'm going to rape your honey, or I'm going to get guys to rape your honey.
If you don't give me your money.
In the first person. You know?
If you don't give me your money.
I'm going to have my niggas go out and rape your honey.
Exactly.
Take your bitch and rape.
I'm going to take my money and your money, because your money is my money, and then I'm going to have my niggas take your woman.
Yeah, but my question is... Go ahead, Mike.
It's different because it's in the first person.
Yeah, but why is it a
rap artist, when he's speaking in the first person, is considered different than an actor saying the same thing in the first person?
Well, here's what I'm saying.
I don't understand that dichotomy.
If we're equating a rapper to an actor, then I would pose this. Then the question would be to Meek Mills, for me, would be, so Meek, are you portraying a character or are you really that tough? Because rappers will tell you the reason why they say the things that they're saying is because this is who they are.
But we all know, regardless of what they say, 9 times out of 10, it's not the truth.
Yeah, but no.
Rick
what
Ross.
We know,
it's all a front. They put up that front because that front is making them money. It's all a marketing tool.
So then Rick I would Ross. Say, yo, Meek, so you don't ball, you don't have a lot of money, you don't own a lot of cars, you don't screw a lot of broads. You're not the flossiest out of all of them. Everything that you say on the mic is fake. Or should we pick and choose what it is that it is or not reality? Because that's what I would, if I was as a journalist, these journalists out there who cover rap music, they'll never ask that. I'll ask him this. It's like, okay, hey, are you a baller? Do you make a lot of money? And he'll go, yeah, I'm a baller. I make a lot of money. And it's like, okay, so you drive a lot of hot cars? Yeah, I drive a lot of the hot cars. Will your boys rape a bitch that you instruct them to rape? It goes, no, right there. Then I was just BSing. I was just bullspitting. I was just kidding around. So what's real and what's real and what's fake? My point is that don't go out there with your hardcore mess and say, this is real and this is fake, but it's all entertainment. What is it? Are you a baller? Yes.
But this is really what you're saying, Reese, is that if everyone else poses that if this is art, if this is they're considered actors, actresses, whatever, their message may be the same as those actors or artists or whatever, but their delivery is different. And is that the problem?
Well, what's real and what's fake?
But is the delivery of that, well, in a movie, what's real and what's fake? If they're actors, they're acting out a part, right?
And they're the bad guy. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the rapist is not glorified.
Okay. So here's my question. If that's so true, right, I'll go back to an old argument. You guys remember this because we've talked about it before. Remember Anita Baker's charge against Guns N' Roses for their song about the racist white guy who doesn't like, you know, gays and blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She made this big argument about them singing that song. Says that they should not sing that song about racist and homophobic white people. If that's not allowed, a rock group couldn't come out and make a song about that without scrutiny, but a rapper can talk about rape and that's okay?
Well, how much stuff did Ice Cube say in his solo work that was vile and racist? And now he makes kids movies. You know, there's no consistency.
That's true.
Well, I think, again, this is another case of sort of like the rapper getting a pass. Yeah, it's okay to talk about getting your boys to rape a honey because it's not real. It's not like they're really
rape. Ice Cube had a song called Cave Bitch where he talked about, you know, I don't want no stringy-haired, flat-ass cave bitch, referring to white people, white women. Right. And he's making kids movies.
Yeah, I understand. I believe in this particular case, I think what Meek Mills is doing is he wanted to say the most outrageous thing that would make people go, oh,
yeah, but
yo, you heard what he said, son? Like, he wanted to do that. I think that was his intent.
Well, but that's what all hip-hop, when people listen to that type of music, because, whatever you want to listen to, you want to listen to.
Right.
This day and age, hip hop, for the most part, is not something that I indulge in because it doesn't make any sense. But for those people out here that listen to that, it's making all of them go, whoa, what was that?
You know, I'm a big First Amendment guy, and I say, you know, let artists say what they want, but there's got to be consistency in the outrage.
Well, I agree there. I agree there. JC, what do you want to say?
Lastly, me personally, I think that if he had to follow copyright with the Library of Congress, they declare it art, so it should be art. I think art is depends on one's interpretation.
Not if they got their own label.
Well, you know what? Bottom line, I will say this. I think the best way to put it is that if it's truly an art, if it's truly an art, what it is they're saying, then that means that every rapper out there, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, that everything that you say is fake and you're just acting. I think that should be the bottom line. I think that's the scrutiny. I think that's the level that you should be held at. If there are people out there who believe that what it is that they're saying is true, or the behavior that, you know, the behavior is a fact, I believe that that needs to be challenged. And unfortunately, it's not. But I was just stunned that that was okay in this day and age that somebody could say that. So that's the part that baffled
me. Well,
the hell
but
out of
I
it.
Mean, come on. If you really think about, people say all kinds of. That's nothing.
I guess not.
Not in today's day and age.
Again,
not according to the FCC.
Again, I will agree.
I mean, we're in a different. I remember when you couldn't curse on TV. I mean,
you're saying that the standards have been lowered.
It's a free for all.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's a free for all. I mean, I agree with, you know, your right to whatever it is that you want to say. I agree with freedom of speech. I wholeheartedly am for that. But damn, where are the morals in this country?
Yeah, it's.
I mean, everybody is just on fire.
All right, thank you, Edward and Mike, as always, every day, because they always call in and they always contribute. JC, the producer, Mary, why are you bugging? I'm Reese on the radio. That's our show for today. I promise you there will be more news tomorrow, because there are people out there who are going to be upset. Hey, somebody tell me whether or not this song is appropriate.
My name's Jimmy Rebel. This first number's a song I wrote. It's very near and dear to me, and it's about niggers.
A one, a two, a one, two, three. Step back, silverback, hold on, Blackie. Steal some gas for your Cadillac-y. Head downtown with them coons and clowns. Just stay away from me. Laquita, Shanita, and Jamal. Orangelo, Mangelo, and Tylenol. Grab an orange soda and a basketball. Just leave my daughter be. Keep to yourself. Stay away from mine. Open your eyes and mouth so I can see you shine. Open up your nose. Put in a fresh bone. Just leave my snow-driven beauty, Caucasian cutie, pure demure and classically snooty, sweet white daughter alone, nigger.
Inappropriate song ever.